The first reading for this, the sixth Sunday of Easter, comes from the Acts of the Apostles, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 34th verse. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who had heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle reading, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes from the letter of St. John, the 5th chapter. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. And this is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel comes according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 16 years ago, on May 2, 2008, an event took place that completely changed the world. the movie Iron Man, starring Robert Downey Jr., was released. And you might think I'm exaggerating to say that that changed the world, but really it did. Marvel Comics went from kind of a fringe thing that you could maybe find in comic book shops, and it took it to the center of pop culture. The Marvel Cinematic Universe changed the way Hollywood makes movies, made computer-generated images standard in just about every film, and launched or relaunched the careers of tons of actors. Superhero movies are all the rage now, and they have been huge moneymakers for almost 2 decades because of this. And I really like a lot of those movies. Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, X-Men, just about all of them that haven't tried to shove some Marxist agenda down your throat or work that in some way. They're fun. They're exciting. They're very enjoyable. And it's always such a great feeling at the end of the movie when the good guys win. They fought the good fight. It looked like there was no way that they could possibly pull it off, and then they do. After a long, hard struggle, usually some kind of sacrifice and setback, they can stand triumphantly over their enemy and know that the battle is over. Pan to sunset, fade to black, roll credits. But have you thought about what happens after the credits? And I'm not talking about just the bonus scenes Marvel always does. The superheroes know that they have won, but for how long? You know as well as they do, there's a sequel coming. You know there's a lot of bad guys that you have yet to see on the big screen. You know full well that this victory is short-lived, and there will be another fight, and another, and another. They may have overcome this latest challenge, but there will always be another fight, another battle, another thing to happen. As a Christian, do you ever feel that way sometimes? We'll leave church here today, hopefully feeling refreshed and renewed by God's grace and love, but we know what's waiting for us at home. A pile of bills, work or school stress, health worries, a whole bunch of other things that are going to attack us and take up our time and energy, drain us, leave us feeling useless. We can be rejoicing that we just had a very meaningful conversation about Jesus with a non-believing friend, only to find out that someone else we know is now angry with God and looking at a false religion instead. We can be thrilled to find out that a favorite actor or singer of ours has just become a Christian, only to get punched in the gut as we hear that a supposedly Christian band has just endorsed sin and heresy. We rejoice as many states pass laws to protect infants in the womb and to keep men dressed up as women from taking over girls' sports. And then we hear about other states doing the exact opposite and forcing its citizens to support and fund godless sin. Does life ever seem like a constant, unending string of battles, struggles, and fights? Do you ever wish that you could just enjoy a victory for a little while before the next problem comes along? You are not alone. We all feel that way. Some days more than others, of course, but life in this sinful world really grinds us down. What can we do to stop the darkness? Will there ever be a victory that isn't taken away from us? How can we as Christians overcome this world? Because to win a victory, we typically want to overcome things through battle and through conquest. We all want to be John Wayne, Spider-Man, and Bruce Lee rolled into one. We want a clear-cut battle with a villain that we can see and defeat. Even if it seems impossible, even if it seems like we couldn't possibly prevail, we want that tangible kind of a fight. If I beat this guy, then I've won. If I stop this evil plot, then I've won. If I fight my way up all 12 levels and then beat the final boss, then I know that victory is truly mine. And so when we think of overcoming the world, we think in terms of beating it, proving that we're better than it by force, making it cry uncle. We want a stand-up fight where we may come out bloodied and bruised, but we know that we will be a winner. We want the bell to ring, the referee to lift our arms up as a champion, and we are done. We want to stand victorious after a long, grueling battle where we have proven ourselves to be stronger than our foe, and we have the satisfaction of knowing that we are indeed the champion, my friends. And we can simply sit back and enjoy the fruit of our victory. The problem is, the world doesn't work that way. There will always be another battle. As long as we draw breath, there will be struggle and conflict, because we live in a sinful and broken world, and we ourselves are sinners who are broken. And usually those fights, they aren't nearly as clear-cut as we would like. We want it to be, I do this, it accomplishes this, that's the end of the story. But sin is messy. Sin is ugly. Sin makes for some very, very tough and long and insidious battles. The devil does not fight by Queensberry rules. He sucker punches us just when we think the fight is over, or when we think that there is no fight at all to be had. He hits below the belt as he turns our friends and family into sources of stress and strife and conflict. He ambushes us when we least expect it, smacking us upside the head with health problems, tragedy, financial woes, and all sorts of other ugly fights that take up all of our time and concentration. As sinners, we will always be struggling against sin this side of heaven. The effects of a sinful world crashing in on us from all sides, as there is terror and violence and chaos and lawlessness and all of the different things that happen outside the world on the grand scale, and all the things that affect us individually, sickness, problems, strain, frustration. We have the effects of our own sinful nature fighting us from within, telling us that the world is right. Listen to the world. This is a good way and it's going to get us more money, so let's go with that. The life of a Christian is a constant struggle against sin. We are tempted to give in. We are tempted to say that it's not worth it, to just go with the flow because it is exhausting to fight the tide all the time. We are tempted to simply lie down and say, times have changed and everybody's accepting this and this other church is saying that it's okay, so I'm sure God's okay with it. But to do so is to embrace sin, to tell God that he's not worth it, to tell him that we have found something better, something more satisfying, something that can provide for us better than he can. Once we stop fighting, once we lie down in our sin, once we stop fighting against it and say, this is just who I am, deal with it, we are lost. And the devil has taken us firmly into his wretched, fiery hands. And so as Christians, we fight. We struggle. We resist. We refuse to take pride in our sin. We go through life and all of its battles, knowing that it will not be easy, knowing that it will go on day after day after day. And in this way, it might seem like we could never possibly overcome the world despite what God tells us. John says in our epistle reading, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now we know that we've been born of God. We know that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But it sure doesn't feel like we've overcome the world, does it? If anything, it usually feels like the world is overcoming us, that the darkness is pushing in further and further into our lives. And if we're looking for victory through force, through conquest, if we're looking to overcome the world in a comic book superhero kind of fashion, well, then the sad fact is we will never win. But as Christians, we have indeed overcome the world, even as the battle continues. To the world, to the outside observer, even to ourselves, It might seem like we have overcome nothing. And if we are hoping to win the victory by ourselves, then we never will. But our strength, it's not in our mind. It's not in our gadgets, our power, or our anything. Our strength is the cross and empty tomb of Jesus Christ. John says, how have we overcome? By faith. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through looking to Him, not ourselves, not the world, not politicians, not anything else. We have overcome not just the world, not just the devil, not even just sin, but we have overcome death itself. At the cross, though it looked like Jesus had been overcome by His enemies, He had lost nothing at all. He died to win the victory for us, willingly, graciously sacrificing Himself to wash us clean by His blood, to take away every scrap and shred of our sin and iniquity, to declare us innocent in the eyes of God. At the tomb, though it looked like Jesus had been overcome by death, He rose again of His own power and holiness, breaking death's grasp on Him and on all of His people, all those who look to Him in faith and trust in Him, rolling back the stone so that the whole world could see that He had risen just as He said. In His ascension into heaven, Jesus did not abandon us on the battlefield, but He now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, forgiving us, strengthening us each and every day through His Word, through His holy presence in our lives, through the eternal waters of baptism, through His own body and blood given to us today to sustain and strengthen and refresh and renew us. And when He comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, we will know our victory in full. He will come to carry us in His arms to that perfect paradise that He has prepared for us. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes as sin and heartache and suffering and death and frustration are not even remembered. He will give us His very robe of righteousness to cover all of our sin and guilt as we are blessed to serve in His heavenly kingdom for all eternity, feasting at His table of victory forever, set free from our sin and all of its consequences. As Christians, this is what we have to look forward to. We have overcome the world by the blood of Jesus Christ, and He will take us to be with Him forever in heaven. But this doesn't mean that until then we just sit back and take a beating, or that we just slog through this life hoping that eventually something good happens to us. God is with us now, and we rejoice in the victories that He gives to us now. Even as we continue to struggle with sin, we rejoice that sin does not overwhelm us. Even as the devil continues to attack us, we rejoice that he is on a leash, his head has been crushed, and he cannot win the victory. Even when we just don't feel like rejoicing because of how beaten down this sinful world can make us feel, we stand firm, not in our feelings, not in anything of us, but in the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. The eternal victory that He has given to us, His presence in our lives, strengthening us when we can't carry on. Life as a Christian is going to be a constant battle from within and from without, but we are not alone. All our brothers and sisters in Christ, they fight at our side, praying for us, lifting us up when we fall, supporting us in our needs just as we do for them. Keeping us steadfast in the one true faith, directing us when we stray. The very angels themselves fight for us and protect us from untold horrors and tragedies each and every day, the things that we are completely and blissfully unaware of that have not happened to us, though they should. But most importantly, God Himself is with us always. Not like a cheerleader standing on the sidelines telling us to do better, but He is with us. Within us, in the trenches, at our side, at all times, strengthening us, speaking to us and through us. Most importantly, though, forgiving us, cleansing us of our sin, overcoming the world for us, since we can't do it ourselves, and filling us with His Holy Spirit with the strength to carry on living according to God's Word. The fight is long. It is grueling. It is dirty. It is messy, and it is unfair. And as long as you are this side of heaven, the fight will never cease. So the world will tell you to quit, to give up, to just admit that you can't possibly win. And if you're looking to yourself for the victory, the world is actually right. But thanks be to God that we are not trying to overcome the world on our own. Thanks be to God that He has overcome the world for us, and He is the one who has given us the victory. Eternal victory forever in heaven, that we will know in full when we lie down in the sleep of death, and He carries us from the battlefield to His heavenly kingdom. But even now as we fight, even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even as we feel the sinful world trying to grind us down every single day, victory is ours. Even as the battle rages on in our lives, we can rejoice with one another. We can cheer for one another. We can sing songs of praise and worship, even when it might feel we have nothing at all to celebrate. For we know the love and the mercy and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The battle is long. It is exhausting. But by His cross alone, by His empty tomb alone, you have overcome the world. All your sins are forgiven, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.